Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Hope you got some good refreshing of the Spirit, some good refreshing words. You know, there's words that God speaks to us corporately, tongues and interpretation of tongues, certainly an exhortation like Julie had. And then there's those private words that you got this morning that are just between you and Him. Praise God for those, you know, and all these different ways that God speaks to us by the precious Holy Spirit. And we're just trusting that He's going to continue to speak to our hearts this morning through His Word. We're going to go ahead and get started in a passage of Scripture. Passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 3. I actually made reference to it earlier during worship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." So what's the Scripture saying? He's saying, you were raised with Christ, all right? Obviously, we're not in heaven right now. We're still on earth. But in our spirit, in our authority, who we are in Christ, being in Christ, we were raised with Him in those heavenly places where He was raised in terms of that place of dominion and power and strength. He gave us that place in Christ to sit there right with Him. And so we're to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. He goes on to say in, this is actually the Apostle Paul. He's saying in Philippians 4, 8 through 9, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, as you look throughout the Scripture, you'll see over and over again in different ways, different forms, where the Bible talks to us about the importance of setting our mind on things above, meditating on the things that are true, noble, just. The Psalm 1 guy, he doesn't get caught up in the counsel of the ungodly, the path of the sinner, the seat of the scornful. He just makes his delight the Word of God, and he meditates in it day and night. And that word meditate literally means to talk to yourself about the Scriptures throughout the day. So we're told and we're instructed from the Word of God that we have this culture where we are to keep our mind on things above. We're to think along the lines of the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And we see in Romans chapter 8, there's a lot of different places you can go to be spiritually minded as life and peace. It's such an amazing thing. And I think that the body of Christ, in large part, has done a good job of really kind of showing us and, you know, different teachers, different avenues, the importance of being spiritually minded and how that is where we are to be dialed in. And we see that throughout the Scriptures. And it's kind of funny when you think about it. It's been such a freeing message in one sense, because a lot of times we've come at things from a different angle where we're trying to, you know, get everything right or fix up our life, or, you know, people can come at it from a wrong perspective, and somebody comes along and says, "Look, you just got to really get your mind on the right things and set on the right things." And it's such a freeing message, I think, because when you think in terms of doing versus thinking, thinking seems to be the much easier route to go as far as getting set free in something or getting direction or whatever you want to say. I mean, we went through an exercise yesterday of moving, okay, a literal moving exercise. And, you know, if we had a choice, if we had two options, you know, option number one, you come out to the house and you move stuff from one house to the other house. But if I had option number two, where I don't need you to come out to the house, all I need you to do is imagine the stuff being moved from one house to the other house. which would be the easier route to go? Well, the thinking, right? Thinking is just so easy. I mean, wow. But let's just see. I'm just kind of having you do a little inventory here because we've been bombarded pretty well in a good way from this pulpit too, myself as your pastor. The importance of thinking right. And if you've been living this walking this walk for any amount of time, you realize that thinking right isn't as easy as you might think. There are some headwinds that we deal with in the thinking right message. And after a while, it's like, I don't need, somebody to tell me to think right. I know that. I want my thinker strong enough to think the way I know I'm already supposed to think. I want my thought life. I want the strength of mind to think how I'm supposed to think. I don't want another book. I don't want another audio series telling me that stop thinking negative, start thinking. I know that. All right, now I'm assuming that. I'm not coming against it. I preach it, minister to it. But that's kind of the 101. That's the what. And I'm assuming some things this morning that we're kind of at the what. We get the what. All right, I get it. I'm supposed to set my mind on things above. I'm supposed to meditate on those things that are true. I know that. But I want and I desire with all my heart to really have that mind and the strength of mind and that spiritual attention span that is going to set my mind on things above. Like we said, you got headwinds. It's not as easy as you might think. Oh, just think on the right thing. If you've been thinking something a certain way for 20 years, no, I'm just going to think different. There's some headwinds. You got a roaring lion. And it would be handy if it was just something you could see making audible noises. That would be easy. But he's roaring thoughts in your mind. Volume 10. And you're nagging. You got to think right. Got to think right. Got to think right. You know? Or you've got the impulses, the flesh, the world, and the devil, right? Those are the three big headwinds. The impulses of your own body. The weights and the sins that have easily beset you for umpteen number of years. And they have a whole series of thought patterns that go along with them that you condition you to see something in condition to where it's almost instinctive. The world that we live in. A world that doesn't get us, a world that resents our Jesus and our Bible and all the strife and the confusion. You got headwinds. Just think right. Just think spiritual. It sounds so easy. And yet as we've walked through the thinking right message and the scriptural, biblical thinking right message, we realize that there are things that we need to do. And there are scriptural things that we're going to get to in a second that we need to do, and I just feel in my heart, and I've been stirred up in my spirit this week by the Lord to address this from a different perspective. And I'll just get onto the title. The title of the message is simply this: How to Get a Ripped Mind That Wants to Think on the Right Things All the Time. All right? For those of us who don't want another Think Right book, all right? This is not a You Need to Think Right sermon. Mm-mm. We're going after something different. We're going after the health and the condition of our mind. You know, we have our heart rate, our blood pressure, scales, different things like that we put all together, your age, that they'll kind of put all together to evaluate your physical health. And you got to realize, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, there are times you've been strong in the Lord, and there are times you've been weak in the Lord. Same theology, but you can be strong or weak in this stuff. You can be strong or weak in the spirit of your mind. And what I really want to go for here this week and next week, this is going to be a series at least 2 weeks, maybe three, we're going to look at, from the Word of God, how to get on the treadmill spiritually and get a strong mind, a ripped mind. Those, you know, ripped just means strong, fit, you know. A ripped mind that wants to think. You've been there. You've had it where your mind just wants it and you go after it. And there's so many things that can pull it away. I just want to tell you some things. You can, on purpose, get a ripped mind. A ripped mind that is absolutely has a spiritual attention span that stays with the Word of God and will grow and develop. So this morning, we're going to get started. And before I delve into a lot of the specifics that I will really be delving into next week, your exercises. This is going to be, it's going to be a little bit like a training instruction. So if you're feeling like weak in your mind, blah, blah, I know I'm supposed to, this will be a good little series to go back to start getting trained and to start getting fit and to start saying, yes, praise God, I can do all things through Christ. And it's not just a nice sounding scripture verse. I can. And so as we go forward, I'm going to lay a little bit of groundwork this week. Okay? We're kind of starting high level, and we're going to get into the very specific practical stuff, especially next week. But this morning, there's a few foundations I got to lay, because I'm talking to myself this morning too, okay? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm talking about 30 plus years of a Christian experience endeavoring to set my mind on things above and the trials and errors of my experience. And when I get there and I stay there and I can tear it up, and when I delve down, all right? There are things we can do on purpose to stay there. But there are some things that traditionally, religiously, we talk ourselves out of, and we don't always consciously know it. Now, I'm talking, you know, to us who are love the Lord, born again. We know we're saved by grace through faith. And this is a big one that can sometimes talk us out of having a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time. And that is this: discipline is not legalism. Discipline is not legalism. That's unscriptural. There is scriptural discipline that is not legalism. And sometimes when you think about doing something, having a ripped mind, doing something, there is going to be an element of discipline involved. And if all of a sudden you sense a needing to do something that's discipline, and you get an aversion and think, oh, that's legalism, you could walk away from something God wants you to do to develop yourself. In other words, as we live, especially in more kind of a charismatic thing, we can incorrectly feel like, I got to feel inspired to do something or it's not the Spirit. You don't have to feel inspired. If you can look at the Word and it says it is written, whether you feel the inspiration of it is written or not, it is still written. And you can still do it is written, and you don't have to throw a legalism flag. You are going to develop a discipline in what is written. There are some things that we need to understand as we are going to get ripped in our mind. Discipline is not legalism. What is legalism? Let's start there. Paul addresses it in Colossians. He says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. In other words, he's saying, don't get caught up in these rules and these little conviction rules, and you're trying to do things. And really, the motivation of legalism is you're trying to do something that is going to make you right with God, something other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times you end up observing these little regulations to try to keep us in the good graces with each other, so-and-so doesn't think that I'm da-da-da-da-da, and all that kind of political stuff. And that's also another form of legalism, where your right stand, if your right standing is satisfied in Christ, you don't care what brother so-and-so thinks or what sister so-and-so thinks. You're right with God. And so it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. He either cleanses you or he doesn't, and he does. And you are righteous in Christ. And so righteousness, legalism, has to go with the motivation for why you're doing what you're doing, not the act of what you're doing. You could have person A and person B, and person A, and they're both doing the same thing. If you were to look at it from the outside, they're both sitting on their couch with their Bible curled up with some coffee or whatever, just having a little devotion time. Person A is just feeding on the Word of God, getting built up, strengthened, having some precious time with God. Person B is trying to read their chapter for that day because they know that if they read their chapter for that day, then that's going to be good and that God is going to love them and that God's going to accept them and they'll have done their deal and they'll know that that whole motivation is different. But on the outside, look the same. What's the difference? Legalism, it's a motivation of the heart. It doesn't mean that because somebody's doing something that's really good with a legalistic motivation that the thing is wrong. Not at all. There are good things that we're to do. You look at the whole book of Titus. The whole book of Titus is maintaining good works that was written to Christians who knew they were saved by grace through faith. And he's saying, you got to maintain good works. Praise God. Good works are still good. All right? They're not good if you're trying to be made righteous with God by them. It's your motivation. You know, that's only through the blood of Jesus, but it doesn't mean that good works are no longer good works. It's still good to feed the poor. It's still good to reach out. It's still good to do good and kind things and to help out. That's all good. And it's good to do good things that are going to feed your faith and build you up as well, too. And as we look at, you know, how to get a ripped mind, and as we get, you know, for the weeks to come, there's going to be an element of discipline to some things, not to be confused with legalism. In other words, I'm not doing what I'm doing so that God's going to love me and God's going to help me. I'm going to be doing some things, and somebody might say, why are you doing that? I'm doing it because I'm getting a ripped mind that is wants to think the right thing. I'm exercising. You know when you exercise in the natural? If you wait until you feel a gooey, inspired feeling to exercise, your diet plan, your exercise plan is going to derail quick. You know, the January 1st inspiration of a new commitment is good for a day or two if you can live off the emotional inspiration of that. But at some point, you're going to have a discipline that has nothing to do with feeling a witness of the Spirit. If the witness of the Word says to set your mind, then it's the witness of the Word is good enough whether you feel it in the Spirit or not. There's going to be some discipline. And I'm saying the same way when you start out a discipline in the natural, you know, let's say you did hit a treadmill or you do go on a walk or you do something physical. The first time around the block or two, you're going to get winded quick. But when you do it the next time, you're going to be able to go a little further. And then we go a little further. You can develop yourself physically. You can develop yourself mentally. You can develop yourself spiritually, mentally. We talk about spiritual and the mental, the soul and the spirit. A lot of times we compartmentalize the soul and the spirit so far apart like this. My soul's up here in my head and my spirit's down here in my belly. And there's this big gap between them. Not so. That would be handy, but it's not so. In fact, they're so integrated that it takes the Word to divide them asunder. They're that close. They're very close. And that's why it can be very confusing sometimes. Is that me? Is that God? Is it the Spirit? Is it da-da-da? It takes the Word to know. I feel, well, the Word says no. Well, then that's not me. It takes the Word to know when I say my soul, I mean my mind, my will, and emotions, and my spirit, the inner part of me that became a new creation in Christ. They are close, and it takes the Word to know what's what. If I feel something that does not line up, well, I know that's just a pull for my soul. Praise God. But we got to realize these things are close. And when I'm talking about health, I'm talking about a spiritual inner man health. Maybe that's a better way to say it. An inner man strength that involves your spirit and your soul. They are closely connected. All right? There's not a big gap here that's obvious. They're so close, you got to look in the Word of God to see what's what. All right? Now, as we're going forward in this, there are going to be some disciplines that we have. Like we said, as you go and you begin to develop yourself physically, you'll find out it's the same way spiritually. I got this huge Bible. My normal Bible is packed in a box somewhere, so I found the biggest one I could find here. It's my Bible, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I had a lot of exercise yesterday, too. So as I'm looking in, and you if you've read the Bible for a while, man, you can read a few verses and it's like, okay, whew, that's good. That's enough. And you know, sometimes all you need is to read a couple of verses anyway, just meditate on it. So it's not even the number of verses necessarily, but you can expand your spiritual attention span to where you have a couple of verses and like, okay, good. All right, let's go, do something else for a while. You know, because your mind isn't used to thinking spiritually. But you can develop your spiritual attention span where you can get in the spirit, you can think spiritual things and stay there for a while. You can stay there longer. And God can give you stuff and you can stay there and get more stuff. And you don't have to run away. You can stay there. You can get in the spirit and stay in the spirit. It's an attention span that can grow and develop just as much as your natural body can grow and develop. You're going to get a ripped mind. I'm not telling you. Now, you know, if you're bitter, then think on forgiveness. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Don't think that. I'm not going there this morning, all right? We know that. But we're going to be talking about things that you can do to develop the muscle that does what you already know you're supposed to be doing. There are things you can do to get strong in your mind. Let's take a look at the scripture here in Isaiah. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amplified. You will guard and keep him in perfect peace, constant peace whose mind in both its inclination and character is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. Message, same verse. People with their minds set on you keep completely whole, steady on their feet because they keep at it and don't quit. That's a great promise from the Word of God. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. That word stayed invokes discipline. And again, I don't have to preach this. All I have to do is say, take a little inventory of when you've kept your mind stayed on him and in the face of those headwinds and when you just kind of let yourself go with the headwind. We know what it's like. And when you keep your mind stayed on him, you stay in peace. When you let your mind get blown off, strife, confusion, all that other stuff. There's a staying on him the scripture talks about. Hebrews says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father doesn't chasten? But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate, not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. And yes, we are reading New Testament this morning. This is the Hebrew writer, could be Paul or somebody else, but this is New Testament instruction. He's likening the chastening of a natural parent to the chastening of a spiritual parent. And again, this is sometimes that we throw flags and go bonk, oh, and we back off from really developing spiritually because we think, well, God loves me, he's for me, he's with me, amen, he is. Who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? God is, you know, he's the one who justifies. He's a good shepherd, he loves you, he's there for you, but he is a good father too. And if you're going in the wrong direction, a good father is going to say, no, this is the right direction. He's going to come to you by his spirit, by his word, and he's going to guide you right. He's not going to let you go in the wrong ditch and crash and burn so he doesn't have to take the flak for being the parent that isn't going to be popular or he's going to be your friend. He loves you. He loves you. And that your heavenly father loves you. And if he sees you going in a destructive direction, your loving heavenly father is going to show you and bring. You know, you can, when there's a scripture in Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except that which is good for the use of edification, and don't grieve the Spirit of God. You know, when you tear people down with your words, there's a grieving. Oh, I shouldn't say it. God, sorry. Lord, I love them. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good. There is a godly correction, scriptural godly correction, and it's not pleasant, especially as God's correcting things in your life. But there's a bigger, that's one cog in the wheel. The other cog is you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. and you are getting changed to where you can prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. But for that transforming, to bring every thought into captivity, you're going to be alerted. You're going to be aware. That's wrong. But I thought that was right for 20 years. Yeah, but it's wrong. Okay. Humble myself under the mighty hand of God and begin to, by faith, change the way I'm thinking. What am I talking about? I'm not talking any specifics this morning. I'm just talking conceptually. Discipline is okay. It's okay to go, oh, and it's not condemnation. It's God saying, that's not right. That's not right. That's not healthy spiritually. It's not healthy. You know, if you are of the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. And I find that no matter what outlet, and we got a lot of outlets to sow to the flesh, but it seems like the primary reaping of corruption, you get it right up here. It messes with your thought life. It messes with the way you think. And you realize that, hey, look, there are disciplines in my life that has nothing to do with the revelation that I'm righteous before Jesus. It has nothing to do with condemnation. Condemnation is this. Let's make it, you know, we made a distinction between legalism and discipline. Here's another one. If I'm a receiver, okay, we just had the NFL draft, so kind of be thinking football, but if I'm a receiver and I drop a pass, and somebody comes up to me and says, you're supposed to catch the ball, not drop the ball. Is that discipline or condemnation? Condemnation is something that comes along and tells you what you already know. Now, if somebody comes along and observes something and said, you know, if you'll just make a half second cut earlier, you'll have a little bit more time and reaction time to catch it the next time. Is that condemnation? That's instruction. The scripture is given for our instruction. God will instruct you. He won't, but you still got to be correctable, right? I'm right in everything. I'm right about everything. If anybody tells me anything, it's condemnation. No. No, you're just pride. You're proud and a little baby, and you'll never grow spiritually. You got to be willing to learn. You got to be willing to grow. You got to be willing to receive instruction from the Spirit of God and from the Word of God. We're not there yet. We need discipline. We need this kind of parental discipline. This has to be okay with our Heavenly Father. We got to say, it's okay for you to correct me, Lord. I don't just have my little kingdom established and I don't need to change. I need to change. I need to go from glory to glory to glory. The Apostle Paul at the end of his life, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching forward. Paul maintained a humility and a teaching mode his whole life because he had a revelation and a teachable spirit. He wasn't afraid of discipline. He wasn't afraid to be corrected and then throw a legalism flag. No. Is there condemnation? Yes, there is. Anything that gets in between you and the love that God has for you, that gets in between you and your gift of righteousness, man, that's legalism. I mean, it's not by works of righteousness. I'm righteous on the inside. But I'll tell you what, I'm working out my salvation. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And that working out of my salvation is what affects my thoughts and my actions, all right? My thoughts and my actions aren't perfectly where my human new creation spirit is, all right? In the inward man, in the spirit, the old has passed away, behold, all has become new. In my soul, the old is passing away as I'm taking thoughts captive and bringing them to the obedience of Christ, as I'm changing the way I live and getting it to line up with who I am on the inside. But there's a process, and I got to be okay with discipline. I can't confuse that. I can't be throwing a grace flag because God's dealing with me to change or because God has shown me that's not right. There's different ways of saying something's not right too, right? The scripture tells us to speak the truth in love. And there's a way that God will show you something. It's like, yeah, wow, I needed that. Thank you, Lord. And the way God shows you something is wrong, he doesn't nag you, and that's wrong. You see it. And when you see it, it's like, oh, I see that. That's not right. Wow. He'll show you things. And thank God for it. Again, we're going to delve into our, I don't know, whatever your favorite fitness workout program series or whatever it is. We're going to be delving into our spiritual fitness regimen. But there's got to be some places that we're all right to go. Okay? because there is good godly discipline in the Word of God that is going to get you ripped in your mind. And this isn't about even your specific issue, all right? This is about just getting strong. You know, a linebacker who gets drafted or somebody in the NFL, man, they work their whole life and they're just strong and they're ripped. You know, to play football, they're probably going to have an easier time carrying in their groceries than maybe me or you would have. Not because they trained to carry in groceries. They trained for something that made them ripped to do what they do, and they've got all these other side benefits. You're going to get ripped, and it's going to have some benefits that are just going to carry, even in your just natural stuff. You get focused, and it's hard to shake you off. I'll tell you what, even your natural work that you do, this will help. You'll be focused, and you'll have three things hit you at once. Instead of having to make three guesses, you just take them one by one by one, and you listen, because there's a strength in your spirit. There's a strength in your inner man. Praise God that you've developed, all right? Again, you can be strong in the Lord, weak in the Lord. We have our different ebbs and flows sometimes. The next one I'm going to do, this is just kind of ground rule number two. And these are just important ground rules to understand the exercises in the at least next week and maybe 2 weeks to come. You have to get stirred up on the power of God. Get stirred up on the power of God. There is discipline that we can see that comes from the Word of God, from a Heavenly Father who loves us. And again, where does it say straight paths for your feet? It's going to be straight today, it'll be straight tomorrow. Whether it feels straight today or feel, it'll stay straight. And it'll develop something in me. Also, there is a getting stirred up on the power of God. So as we kind of shift, transition from a discipline to the power of God, this is another very important aspect. And I think this is another area where we can get bunked off getting a really ripped mind that wants to think on things right all the time. Let me just say this too. If the concept of thinking right all the time sounds exhausting. There are some areas where you're going to grow. You know, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus all the time. The Holy Spirit lives in you all the time. Who you really are all the time on the inside. We're talking about thinking right all the time. We're talking about letting who you are to just shine through all the time. That can be a new norm. When it's like, I got to think, take a break, flesh out and be, it's a different dynamic. You see, when you're changed from glory to glory, you're not performing anymore. You're changed. So here 30% of the real you comes out. Now 60% of the real you comes out, and it's not more mentally exhausting. There's some change. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not like I can keep 20 plates in the air now. Now I can have 40 plates in the air. No, you're transformed. Your mind is transformed. The mental effort and strength is different. And what happens is you're being conformed to the image of Christ. I already know I'm righteous in Christ, but the life I'm living is being conformed. And all of a sudden, you just find yourself thinking and walking and thinking more like Jesus. Getting a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time, it has a transforming effect on your mind that'll change your capacity and will change you. So you can't judge yourself where you are now, where you're going to be, because your mind is going to change as you get disciplined. It's like trying to judge yourself if you're starting out physically. And you're going to start out running 10 miles. Oh, I can never do that. Well, you're not going to. Just run 1 mile. And mentally, you'll change in your attitude toward running. Same spiritually. It's a whole different thing. So as you see the trajectory, realize you're going to be changing all along the way. Here's another big ground rule as we go through the specifics. Getting stirred up in the power of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is he talking about? He's talking about stirring up the Spirit of God, which was given to him through the laying on of hands. In this case, he's talking about I believe, it could be a ministry gift, could be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about a spiritual enablement, a spiritual power. But he says, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Anybody who's born again has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. Anybody who's a new creation has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And that Spirit who's living on the inside of you as a believer, a born-again believer, is a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. All right? One of the things that you're going to realize as you begin to get into these disciplines, this is not a huge mental discipline of mental feet. There's a mental strength you get, but that spiritual mental discipline, it's not coming from the discipline of a thought life in the sense of like physical exercise that I'm thinking, and therefore I've really developed this mental strength because I'm thinking the right thing. No. There is a discipline that you do, but the disciplines that we do as believers stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And the strength of mind you get comes from the Spirit of God. You can be amazed at yourself when you sense a soundness of mind and a clarity of thought, and you're going, wow, praise God. That's the Holy Ghost in me. And that's not me. That's Him thinking through me. But you can stir some things up. You're stirring up a spirit of a sound mind. And I don't give the glory to a mental discipline. You understand, the people that got Jesus back in the day were not the mental giants of the day. They weren't. He said, I bless you. You know, revealed these things unto babes, but they got things and they saw things. You're stirring things up. The disciplines that you do are stirring things up spiritually that you get, that give you the ability to think clearly and a continuity of thought and to see things and understand revelation. But there's a very important element here that we've got to include in any discipline. It's not just knowing the scriptures. Jesus corrected a group of people. Remember, there was a group, it was the Sadducees at that time. They gave Jesus a little trick question about a guy who'd been married, a woman who'd been married to a guy, and then he died, and then the seven brothers, and whose wife will she be in heaven? You know, that was like their big theological debate back then, what they were going through. And Jesus, I'm just giving you his response to that. He looked at him, he said, you err. Jesus answered them, and he said, you're mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. That's two different ways that you can make a mistake. If you only know the scriptures, but you don't know the power of God, you're going to come to some wrong conclusions. You got to know both the scriptures and you got to know the power of God. When you begin to get some discipline spiritually, you're going to experience the power of God. You know, it's similar to even when you begin to do even natural disciplines. You experience, maybe let's say it's like an physical exercise. You can experience a cardiovascular strength, more oxygen, more things. When you begin to experience disciplining in some spiritual things in the Word, you'll experience the power of God. When you sow to the Spirit, you of the Spirit reap life. You reap power. You reap strength. And it's not just the scripture verse. Thank God for the scripture and meditating, but I got something. There's a substance of power that you experience. Right? My life is based on the Word of God, but I'm experiencing the power of God. Two areas. You can err in not knowing the scriptures or not dividing it right. Or number two, you can err in that you don't know the power of God. This is the power of God of the resurrection of the dead. They just didn't believe in the supernatural power of God for the resurrection of the dead. He said, you're in error. You don't know the power of God. Is you're going to get ripped in your mind to where you want to think on the thing, right things all the time. You're going to get a revelation of the power of God. It's not a theology. It is a substantive spiritual strength that rises up in you, that's bigger than you, that gives you the ability to do it. And it's not something you just have to experience once every 5 years. It's something you can live in, walk in. Let's take a look at a few other scriptures along those lines. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. And he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you in excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wow. He came to them with a demonstration that their faith might be in the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, there is something about God they experienced. They experienced his power. You know, that's why some people, it's like you experience some things and it's like, man, it's too late. Don't tell me that isn't for today. It's too late. Already experienced it. Already experienced the power of God. Already got it. Already experienced his power rising up in me, strengthening me and touching me. Their faith, he didn't want it to rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There is a power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There is a power that accompanies the gospel. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul had a heart cry. He prayed for the Ephesians that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. There's an ellipse there. There's the hope of his calling, the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints. But he goes on to say, what is the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's quite a power. That's the power that works toward us as believers. It's not the power that used to work toward us 2,000 years ago. It's the power that works toward us today. That power works toward us. The Apostle Paul said, I pray that you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of it. A preacher can stand up here and say, you got great power working toward you. Isn't it amazing? According to your calculations, what you can do? Yeah, that's good. We need to know the what. But the Spirit will give you an insight into the reality of it. He'll let you see that. Praise God, there is power. I've got things working against me. Yeah, but he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. The things that are working against me, there's a power working greater against that. It's greater power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. There's going to be a revelation of power and knowing that power. Knowing the power. This isn't a power trip, and of course you can get off on weird, strange things. But I'll tell you what, there is a power of God that sustains you and strengthens you to do what God has called you to do. How to get a ripped mind that wants to think the right thing all the time. There's going to be two aspects that we're going to be going over. Two ground rules, I'm just saying, over the next couple weeks as we get into the specifics. Because as we delve into some specifics, I'm telling you what, there are things you can do on purpose, spiritually, in prayer, and different things. I'm not going to kind of get out too far ahead of myself, but I'm just going to say there are specific things that you can do that will stir up the power of God on the inside of you. They'll actually just, you're going to sense something. You know, we say that a lot of times, we'll quote that minor prophet, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's really true. That's really true as it relates to me and you and living this life for God. It is by the Spirit. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you by his Spirit. And we're going to look at some disciplines that we can do that stir us up spiritually and strengthen us and cause that spirit of power, spirit of love, spirit of a sound mind to come forth. And so just be trusting God with me. Be praying for me that I get this out, everything that I got, because this is a very important message for all of you who don't want another I need to think right sermon, but want a practical message. And again, I had to lay a foundation, all right? This is not practical. This is high level. I hate high level, but I have to do it, okay? I like where faith meets real life stuff, which is where we're going to go to. But I didn't want to start doing a bunch of things and be thinking, oh, that sounds disciplined. Oh, that sounds, I'm going to be coming back to this as I'm talking about the specifics and saying, this isn't legalism. This is discipline, all right? Yep, I know you know the scriptures, but there is a power of God that you're going to experience. So a necessary foundation, high level. Next week, we'll pull out our mats and we'll start going through some of the specific exercises spiritually that is really going to help to develop that strength of mind. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much in the name of Jesus just for just an opportunity to begin to introduce a much bigger topic. We're not content with knowing the three scriptures. We're not content with knowing that we need to keep our mindset on things above. We are disciples. We are disciplined ones. We want this to experience this in the fullness of Christ. This is the stuff that ushers in revival. People who can keep their hearts and minds on you and focused on you. And it's not about our feeling good. It's about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, taking the few years we've got left in our lives, not wasting them, but living them all out for you with all our spirit, all our soul, all our mind, body, emotion, everything, Lord. We want to serve you. We want to give you everything we've got. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will just begin to cause each one of us to grow, to develop, and step by step by step, walk in the fullness of everything that you've got. We know that is connected to so many things, being able to keep our mind in the right place. We just trust that you're going to show us how to keep our mind there. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want my mind to be ripped, strong, a long spiritual attention span. You can speak to my heart, and I can stay with you. I'm not intimidated by the enemy's roars, by my own weights and sins. I lay them aside. I am here, a vessel for your use. Think through me. Speak through me. Live through me. I am yours. I love you, Jesus. You gave everything for me. I want to give everything I have back to you, not to be made righteous, but to serve you, to say I love you with my life. I am yours, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And that's what we're coming back to. We're just coming back to Jesus, live through me. This is about God having full reign and rule through our lives. And you just need to know what you have already. You can do what God has called you to do with what he's given you. You'll develop, you'll grow. But you need to understand, you don't have Holy Ghost Junior on the inside of you. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the power of God. Little old you has what you need to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And we're going to go forward. We're going to go forward disciplined with the power of God and the Word of God and do what God has called. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to experience a satisfaction of spirit like never before. You're going to go, wow, this is why I've been down here. This is why I'm even here. Praise God. Not to just try to keep all the little ducks in a row and feel good. My goodness, there's so much richer, better, purposeful things. And there is some sowing that happens before the reaping. But I'm telling you what, we're going to learn how to sow right, accurate, in line with the Word, and there's going to be a tremendous reaping. That'll be different for everybody, but it will bless your life. Praise God.